Welcome to the Feral Minds Podcast. You are right where you need to be, and we are glad you're here. Come seek with us as we laugh at what we have known and find direction from what our curiosities demand we learn. Fresh in off the thought line, we have this thought line. What's the idea behind the thought line for the good people out there?
Well, some of the ideas so that whenever they want to call to talk about what they have on the podcast, they can do it in a monologue on the thought line instead of calling me or you.
Yeah.
Or waiting to see us in person. It seems like right now, you know, we're still a little bit small potatoes. You know, we're not. We don't quite have six-digit subscribers yet. So right
come
now,
play with us. Come play with us.
Well, yeah. As we do, we're not going to be individually accessible.
It's gonna
so
be
we
hard.
Got a thought line that's there all the time, ready to take those feral thoughts that spawn up whenever listening or whenever going about your day.
Yeah, it's good for content for the show. We had one other thought line episode that was podcast only format that I think was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
There were some squirrely questions in there. And so it allows somebody to kind of join the fun.
Well, sometimes it gets ideas outside of our own.
Sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it's relationship related. You know, sometimes it's just nonsense. And, you know, they're all acceptable. We take nonsense. We take show requests. We take actual life problems. We don't say first, last name. We just normally just say first name, if you give that, but you could be anonymous as well. So you could call the thought line, and you'll hear that number at the end of the show. You can also go to theferalminds.com and use the little contact box. That's actually where this one came from, which is why I'm reading it here. So Corey from Lexington, Kentucky, which I believe is the horse capital of the world. Have you been to Lexington?
I drove through once.
Okay.
Just passing through. I tell you, Kentucky.
Did you stop? Just slow down?
I didn't even slow down. I mean, I was going through. We were driving to Mammoth Cave, mm-hmm. One of the national parks there in western Kentucky.
Okay.
And I was blown away by just how beautiful it all looked as I went by. It had a good vibe to it.
What time of year was it?
Oh, this is July.
Oh, so
we're going right through mid-July.
Yeah, the right time to see it, huh? Right time to see it.
I guess. I don't know. I want to go back. I'm looking for a concert.
You want a
something
reason
to
huh?
go back? Yeah, I want to go back to Lexington. Okay. Maybe run into the
horse wing. Capital of the world, or I guess equestrian. I always thought that was a funny word.
Hey, they're big on Corvettes there too. I know. I know you like to talk about those. Bowling Green. They got like the Corvette, like a museum or something. Bowling Green, Kentucky. It's just a little bit south.
So if I'm feeling insecure, that's a good place. Swing by and just rub my cheek against the mirror a little bit.
They might let you in.
No, but I was thinking about the word equestrian is such a squirrely word. Didn't you think equestrian had to do with water?
It sounds aquarian is water.
It felt like
to mix
forever,
that up
man. It felt like forever. I thought equestrian had to do with diving or swimming, and then someday somebody whipped out the horse term.
Yeah, they're out there doing the steeplechase. Like, boy, that equestrian steeplechase.
You know, one of those stupid cliffs that are like out there waiting for you to fall off of it. Equestrian was a stupid cliff for me, but somebody described
I know
it,
what you're
and they gave
about.
Me a soup. Like, so the cliff became a net before I fell off the stupid cliff. I remember another stupid cliff I had. I was in like second grade, and I got into an argument with somebody that a half inch was the same as an inch and a half. I couldn't see the difference.
Well, there's the inch and there's half.
Well, I was off the stupid cliff. Uh-huh. I was just full off the stupid cliff.
Oh.
And I was arguing about it. And I went home and my mom had to explain to me that, no, there's a one in the middle. You can't just apply halves randomly if there's another number there. And I was like, oh, I felt so stupid, right? Luckily with kids, like it never comes back up again.
Yeah.
That was a low moment. So
I had one lower than that. Take it back another year. It was when you're learning your ABCs.
Yeah.
And in learning those, I learned elemento.
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 Oh, that became a word.
It wasn't.
Dude, I bet you're not the only. Oh, yeah.
And so, man, me and this other student in the class, I argued hard. I was like, it's elemento.
Elemento.
Like, listen to the thing and say it. That's all
it's
they
kind
say.
Of a word elemento. Slide. It goes real fast.
It does. When you're saying your ABCs, you say elemento.
Yeah. When you get to the L, like your ankles are damn near on the N already. Like,
yeah.
It's going fast. That's a.
Yeah, I had
one of those. I guarantee you weren't the first. That wasn't a, that stupid cliff is probably visited on a frequent
basis.
Well,
I ran off that one and jumped like I was about to base jump without a parachute.
Well, they're fun.
I have belief in that.
You learn as you knock your head on the way down. So, Corey from Lexington, Kentucky, called the Thought Line. Corey just started a new job. I hate my boss. I like the company, but I hate my boss.
Assuming the boss didn't hire him, then I guess
is appreciated. Well,
because you never,
you don't pick your boss, man. You don't pick your
boss, man. But I've hired as a boss. You do pick your employees.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So you either got to think, looking at this situation, either the boss didn't hire him, and it's the first time they've met, and it's oh no, we clash, or he is not liking, he's not reciprocating the like.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently, if the boss hired him, he liked him at some point.
Well, the boss, I mean, you don't know what, he said he started a new job, right?
So, right,
we know he hadn't been there long.
Right.
So he probably doesn't know his boss quite yet. And, you know, I think when you're an employee and you're new, you're stepping into this click thing. And, you know, let's say you're now...
You're the new kid in school.
Yeah, you're report.
Almost have to bring the mentality of, like the prison mentality your first day? Kick somebody's ass or become someone?
That's not the angle I'm after. So, you're report number 10. And so, that boss has already had 9 kids, and he knows those 9 kids. He knows their nuance. He knows when they like to call in late. He knows how they perform. He knows how they underperform. He knows where they are strong. He knows where they're weak. He knows a lot about them. You're the new guy, and he may or may not, in whatever season he's in, he may not have had the time, made the time. He may not know that he needs to actively get to know you to bring you a little closer in the family. And so sometimes I think when you – I've as a hiring boss, oh, man, I've been so guilty of this, and then I'll become aware of it. I'll become aware that I didn't introduce him to the family, but I'll miss it if I'm in a busy season, if it's budgeting season, or you know, if you're off in something that's otherwise got your attention, your boss may just not have had a chance yet to kind of welcome you into the fold. So one, I would tell Corey, have you given him time?
Yeah, how much is this is new guy blues?
Yeah.
That's a little bit of what I kind of hear you talking about
there.
Because it is tough to be the new person. Think of how much stress you're coming in with, your own insecurity. You don't know the job. With any luck, you're probably at some point in your life had a job where you were good at it. You know what it's like to be capable.
You're trying to decide, do I like this job and the people at the same time?
Yeah.
That's all part of being new.
Now, at least he seems to be over that hurdle.
Yeah.
He, in some way, shape, or form, he does enjoy.
We said he liked the company, which makes it sound like he liked other people, just not maybe the person that he's reported to.
So when you hear company, you're thinking like a broad scope of the situation.
I'm reaching. It sounded like a guy who didn't want to quit, but he didn't know what to do with his boss. He didn't know. And so my thought was, well, how can I help? I would think that it's a relationship issue, is my guess. And either hasn't had the time or hasn't maybe reached out in a way to start forming a relationship with a boss. And maybe his boss is not a relationship style manager. His boss may just be a cold black and white character. There's a lot to kind of speculate on.
Yeah, he might be a
here.
No news, good but, news kind of guy. You don't want to talk to me kind of boss. If I come to talk to you, there's a problem. Other than that, I got things to do.
Yeah, a guy that's just been, he's jaded. Right? I think we've all been that boss too. But what I would encourage you, Corey, to do is just reach a little. Take a little risk with the boss. Try to open up. Share something, right? No, we're not talking about, you know, the first time you got shot down when you were 13 or, you know, the first time you drove drunk. Nothing like that. I'm just talking about
not
like
the two self-deprecating.
Yeah, let him inside your world a little bit, right? Let him know about your kids. Let him know your kids playing soccer.
Pick what you want him to know about.
Well, that's true.
Because you get to go build your story for him. So select your story that you're going to tell this guy.
And try to connect.
Make yourself likable.
That's my path, right? Yeah, make yourself likable. That is such an important skill that most people don't really connect with. Make yourself likable. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? How can you be a likable employee?
Well, so what I would say on that is I would oftentimes, because I didn't do this, like I've learned from not doing this thing.
You were an unlikable employee?
Oh, very much
so. Or you just
so.
Didn't reach socially, or you didn't care if you were abrasive?
I didn't intentionally be likable. Okay. So I would show
up. Did you know that was?
In my idea, I was kind of deadpan. I wasn't reaching out to someone to try to make them feel like I liked them, especially not my boss.
Yeah.
The only way I was going to make my boss like me is through my work.
You were going to earn
and
it.
I felt like might made right.
Yeah.
If I showed up and did my job good, I didn't have to be likable. They can't deny my results.
I think you can pull that. As an employee, I think that's completely within your discretion. You can be a, I'm not going to be here to socialize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to get on this forklift, and I'm going to put away my quota of pallets, and then I'm going to go home. I think that's, as an employee, you have every right to do that. If you're a boss playing the game that way, that's where, you know, you're not welcoming people into the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're kind of showing the world you don't really enjoy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like as a boss, my awareness would dip in and out of it, but I always felt like I needed to welcome somebody to the family.
See, and I put all of my focus into that. The term I would love to describe the way I always did, I was a player's coach.
Okay.
Like I said,
this
I
is almost, you as a leader.
Yeah, me as a leader. I almost would intentionally be conflictual with authority and make them have to acknowledge my greatness as an employee.
Ooh.
But I would schmooze and like all the people that worked with me to try to get that.
You were a Robin Hood character.
I really was.
Yeah, you were pitching to the common.
And anybody who
to the gin pop.
Yeah. Now, early on, you know, I was definitely a company man.
Yeah.
But that still was my behavior. I still, to make the company better, my idea was force my boss to like me, but see if I can get my employees to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Well, I think that's an attractive position.
Oh,
right?
But to answer your question, more so like you come into employ. I'm just trying to help. And not try to intentionally go create positive relationships with people, and that can adversely create negative ones you didn't even know were happening.
Yeah.
So if you don't apply the intent to be likable, you're unlikable.
It's the danger of being shy.
Yeah, you can't sit neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, that's the problem with it in social setting.
And I think being likable, it doesn't mean you tell funny jokes. It doesn't mean you entertain. It means you show up with a positive attitude, and you know you know what your goals are, and you're reaching for them. You're self-motivated. When you're handed a task,
you're a whole person.
You take
you
it on.
You don't come in as a hurt person.
You go with good intent, right? Go with good intent in all directions, and I think good things will happen for you in any job. I think early in my career, I got really worried about climbing the ladder. And somewhere in there, I realized, like, it'll just happen. Like, show up, be positive, and be likable. And likable for me always went just show interest, right? Recognize the humans that are there. Sometimes I'd get in patterns where I'd stay in my office too much. I felt that a lot. And I would have this little voice going, you need to get out. You need to get out. But then whenever that voice tripped, I felt myself, it wasn't authentic. Now I'm like, I'm gonna go be the governor for a minute and shake hands. Yeah, it didn't feel right. So, like, I had to organically be out there or not. But I would say anybody that's struggling in an organization, turning up your likability is a surefire way to enhance your situation. And what does that mean? That just means show interest in people. I like that to me. Show interest in people and be a willing team member, and your likability is going to go up. I don't think you have to entertain the world. People just have to have an idea of who you are and enjoy who you are. And I've also fell into some of those might is right.
Yeah.
That's ego, too. That's hard ego when you're a young male. And I think, like, Corey didn't tell us how old we are, but when I have these thoughts and conversations, I'm talking to a 30-year-old version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling him, like, turn the rev down a little bit and just focus. And the rev will take care of itself. Like, you'll get the ascension you need by being aware and focusing in the current moment.
So another one that sparks my thoughts on this that I saw with people as a boss is what they thought of me really had a whole lot more to do with their behavior at work and what they thought of themselves.
Okay.
I've really gotten to a big mode that if somebody doesn't like their boss, they don't like themselves.
Mm.
Because I had one morning that really stuck out in particular. I'd go around talking with my group, and it just ran down a line of very unpleasant conversations. with known the troublemakers. You know, I'm out there having to do a write-up. I'm having to follow up on something they had done wrong.
Okay.
And these are just obviously unpleasant relationships.
And you're going into them
between me and the person.
Yeah, and you're going into them loaded with that as well. Like, you're this is somebody that you're always having to maintain.
Mm.
And you go into that with like,
here's the part. Like, I'm just sort of projecting on them what they think of me.
Okay.
They would probably be someone who says they don't like their boss.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like they need to look at their own onus and what they're not liking here. And this is what really brought it home. It was on that same day I was going to go do a safety ride with one of my better employees. I mean, this guy just enjoys his job, shows up every day, doesn't do any complaints, doesn't have the problems. So all the stuff that you would want both a good relationship for the employee and the company together.
Yeah.
And while we're in there, as we're starting off on the ride, he is complimenting me on how much he likes working for me, what he thinks about me as a boss.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I was feeling pretty rough about everything that I was having to live as my management life and was not willing to accept a compliment. And it just dawned on me in that moment. I was like, man, that's great to hear, but that's just you. You like yourself. And that's what I hear you bouncing off me is your great relationship with your with your work and what you think I think of it. So since you think I think well of you, you like me, and we think we all do a great job.
I'm confused now. Did you like him?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the guy that I rode with after talking to the three difficult conversations.
Okay.
He picked you back up.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I go sit down with him and then have this incredible management relationship, you know, this genuine emotional moment, so to speak, with an employee. Uplifting emotional moment. And I at that moment, it's like, I can't take any credit for this. This is all you. So I would definitely challenge anyone who feels like it's their boss that's the problem. See what it is within them that they're bouncing off their boss that they think the boss doesn't like. See what I mean?
Yeah.
You're only projecting onto them anyway. So
maybe. I mean, but there's also bosses out there that are just unenjoyable. Bosses that are burned out. I mean, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been that dude. I've been the boss that just doesn't care anymore. And you know, and that comes through my personality. So I don't know. If you have a burned out boss you're working for, and you like the organization, I would focus on maintaining some type of relationship. What is it exactly about him you don't like? Can you ignore it?
Yeah.
Can you ignore it until you've established yourself as somebody stable? And then maybe you like the company, move to another department.
Hey, I got one for you. This comes from, we'll call this the Band of Brothers theory.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember watching that. But
I do.
In that one, they had a guy from Friends who was the really jerky commander early on.
Okay.
And everybody hated that guy. And they all banded together.
Yeah.
So I would look to your other employees, other coworkers. Don't go in with it of, hey, I can't stand this guy. What are you? But go into it with curiosity. Go mention something maybe that he has done that you didn't like. You know, share that among the coworkers and see what that does for you. Because if it is truly, you know, he likes his work, he likes the company, man, if that guy is behaving in that way towards a whole work group, he's not going to be there long.
That's possible, too.
You know?
Yeah, that's possible, too. I mean, if you're under a burned-out boss, I mean, that end of the wick could be coming soon.
Yeah, band with your brothers. Check out what your coworkers are saying.
That's possible as well. And they're also going to give you insight because they're new. They're not new. They've been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a feel for, you know, exactly, am I riding an emotional wave of this leader that I have here? Or is this really the guy that I'm always going to work for?
I mean, you'll get a better understanding. Maybe he's completely confused on some aspect of the guy's personality.
Could be. Yeah, I remember.
Maybe he's sarcastic as heck, and he's just completely spun Corey into some weird confusion with just sarcastic jokes, and he's just hilarious.
I remember some of them. I mean, you kind of have to start to develop, but just thinking from an employee perspective about my relationships with my bosses over the years, I had to like clock them. I had to figure them out. And none of them made sense to me right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I had one of my first bosses. I worked remotely from him, and I did that for a little over a year and a half.
That's hard to get interpersonal connection.
Well, dude, I would go months. I would go months without him.
You could say one thing wrong, and that's going to linger.
We didn't even establish like a regular rhythm of a conversation. Yeah, I don't think he really enjoyed. I don't think he really wanted me in that role. It just turned out that way. And so he was kind of just allowing me to, let's see what happens with this dude. And so we didn't have regular scheduled calls. I would just call him when I got stuck on something or I needed money for something. And
Only the fun times.
I tried not to think about the dude, to be honest with you. I didn't think about him. I didn't think good about him, or I just thought, you know, I'm just going to kind of learn to operate without
him.
Well,
again, you were trying to stay neutral intent. We already mentioned you can't stay neutral.
You can be your own leader. There's plenty of times in an organization when you will need to be your own leader, either because your supervisor's absent or you have a disconnect with them or ineffective, right? And so you do have to learn how to lead yourself, and you can draw contentment by knowing that you're doing the good thing, you're doing the right job, and you're most likely, if you're focused on yourself and you're leading yourself, if you're under a poor leader, your leadership will eventually transcend that leader. You will pull through where he or she will fade if your focus in leadership is well and productive, if that makes any sense. So you can withstand the storm, because you're in a successful corporate career, the odds of you not coming across a boss that you don't enjoy are pretty low. You're going to have to learn how to manage a relationship with a boss that is not your best friend. You're going to have to learn to respect each other.
Yeah, and like with anything, there's always going to be some negative that you can either focus on or find the positive to focus on.
Yeah.
He's got some negative in this. He's got some positive in this. Lean into every aspect that you do still find comfort with. And like you said, weather the storm in that gratitude with the positivity and see if the focus on the negative that you've waned makes it go away.
Yeah.
If you figure out how to do that, let me know, because I love the idea of applying that to every aspect of life.
I don't think are there any relationships that we leaned into a greater connection that would enhance a relationship? I mean, it always drags you closer when you exchange. You give your existence to them, and they give some of your existence to them. And now, don't be the employee that goes in and just starts laying compliments on a boss. That one right there. That's the one that always, if I ever caught a compliment from an employee, immediately I'm worried, all right, what are you trying to do here? What's the angle? What is the angle? So I see you accepted those compliments willingly. You said, yeah, tell me what a rocking boss I am. I want more of that, dude.
You're going to love
somebody
this.
Somebody complimented
you're gonna
me.
What I'm
I
reminded,
was like, wait a minute, what's he want?
What I'm reminded of is what you always accuse me of, and it's probably true, is I get caught up in the marketing. I believe the marketing when someone will come up.
That is
and
a form of marketing. Yeah, persuasive. Marketing.
I cannot, even though I acknowledge what you're saying. I see this as a ploy, as something that, hey, maybe watch out. I don't care. It works. I don't know if it works.
It does whether you want to admit it or not.
I promise it works. Yeah. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, that's called undeniable. That is basically undeniable likability. When you can compliment somebody and push through all those barriers, and I don't think you have to do this. When I talk about building a connection with a boss, I'm just talking about exchanging personal information, right? My interests,
mm-hmm.
right? I like baseball. What do you like? All right. You like baseball. You used to play baseball. Where'd you play? Over there? Oh, yeah. I used to live over there. These are the things that deepen relationships.
Yes.
They're exchanges of existence or information about existence. That's what draws us close together, because we start to realize through that conversation we are more and more similar than we first thought we were.
And once you start seeing those similarities, once adversities come up within the relationship, you've got a foundation of a positive place to come from, and then say, oh, here's this.
Yeah.
As opposed to, let me bring this negativity in so I can see if I can start a fire of a relationship here.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I remember from it. If I ever wanted to go yell at someone, if I ever wanted to go hand down discipline, you had to have been out there already talking with them about whatever that was, or whatever, in a positive way. A foundation of a relationship, or when you come in with some sort of corrective behavior, you're not going to be near as effective. Now, I don't think this
helps Corey. Were you a good boss?
I had my moments.
You had your moments.
Oh, yeah. And I had with certain people. Again, I've kind of already told the story that I think sums it all up. In the end, you're only as good as your employees.
Yeah, that's true.
I had good ones and I had bad ones.
Yeah.
How much of an impact I really had in it, man, you could argue that for ages.
I would say that am I a good boss or was I not a good? It depends on where you caught me. It depends on where you caught me in life.
Yes.
How mature was I? Did I enjoy the task at my feet at a given moment? There's so many dynamics in there. But I would say as an employee and as a boss, the first thing you can do in any direction, whether you're a boss or employee, is just remember these are humans, right? Your angst is against another human. Mm. And there's probably a solution for that angst that you will find through some type of communication.
I love that. Communication's the key.
Yeah. Talk to him, Corey. Talk to him.
If you have a curiosity you would like to chase along with us, call the Thought Line at 866-340-3394. Again, 866-340-3394.